So can we turn in the Word of God to 1 Corinthians chapter 16? 1 Corinthians chapter 16, but I'm going to read the last verse of chapter 15. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, and then chapter 16. And I do believe the Lord has given me this message, and I've entitled it, An Open Door of New Beginnings. An open door of new beginnings. We're going to start our reading at verse 58 in chapter 15. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Chapter 16, and we'll read verses 1 to 24, the chapter. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collection when I come. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me. Now I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia. And it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. This is the Apostle Paul, of course, speaking. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you, if the Lord permits. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. And if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord, as I also do. Therefore let no one despise him, but send him on his journey in peace, that he may come to me, for I am waiting for him with the brethren. Now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to come to you with the brethren, but he was quite unwilling to come at this time. However, he will come when he has a convenient time. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruit of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That you also submit to such, and to everyone who works and labours with us. I am glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, for what was lacking on your part, they supplied. But they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge such men. The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you one another with a holy greet one another with a holy kiss. The salutation with my own hand Paul's. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. O Lord, come. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. 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 An open door of new beginnings. And it is verse 9. For a great and effective door has opened to me, but there are many adversaries. We began the reading in verse 58 of chapter 15. Obviously, in the original, there were no chapter divisions. And in chapter 58, in chapter 15, you will know it's the most wonderful chapter. It's a chapter about the resurrection. Hallelujah. Hey, we will all rise again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the Apostle Paul is saying to them, hey, in view of the fact, in view of the fact that one day we shall rise again. We will see Jesus as he is. We will live and reign with him forever. Don't give up. Persevere. Keep going. See what door God is going to open for you. You may recall, those of you who were at church last week, that we were continuing our studies in Hebrews, and we looked at some verses from chapter 15, the last few verses, where the writer to the Hebrews is a little concerned. And having given them a lot of pastoral love and encouragement and telling them how much better it is to be serving Jesus than to be religious, to have a relationship with the Messiah, the Anointed One, than doing your own thing. You say, it's so much better. This new covenant is great. It's much better to have the real, the reality, rather than the shadows. But he's concerned because they are being persecuted, they are under pressure, they are being got at. As we said, Christianity was still illegal in their day. They were being tempted to go back. They were being tempted to retreat, to apostatize. And so he says, look, he says, I don't want you to apostatize. God doesn't. Stay with Christ. Yes, it may be tough, but he is with you. Don't give up. It will be worse for you if you go back than if you'd never heard the gospel. He says, grow up. He says, some of you just need to grow up. Can you remember? He says, hey, you're like infants. You should now be on solid food. You should now be instructors of the word. But you're still on the bottle. You're still wearing nappies. You need to grow up, he said. There's a great, you know, exhortation and rebuke to them. Hold on. Don't go back. Because if you're not going forward, you're going back. There's no standing still in the kingdom. You're either moving forward or you're going back. The way not to go back is to go forward. This is the encouragement of the word of God to each one of us. And we just read in verse 58 of chapter 15, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The way to be unmovable, standing firm, is always abounding. Giving yourselves fully to the ministry, giving yourself fully to your calling. And since you're going to be raised from the death, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Serving him is not futile activity. It's not useless. If we're doing it in his strength and in his name, there will be fruit. Our effort, dear friends, our effort is invested in the Lord's winning cause. Our ministry, our worship, our prayers, our intercession, our ministry, our service, our efforts are invested in a winning cause. Hallelujah. Glory be to his name. And the word of God does tell us that he will reward those who have been faithful and loyal, those who have been the true worshippers, who have worshipped him in spirit and in truth, and have been faithful with the talents that they have been given. They will receive their reward at his second coming. All of the work that we do for Christ in his name and in his strength will be rewarded. There's a reference there to Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, which tells about rewards. We will be rewarded, this is talking to believers, for the things that we've done in the body. Those works which we have done in the name of Jesus for his glory there will be a reward. So in verse 9 of chapter 16, for a great and effective door has been open to me. The open door speaks of opportunities. The open door speaks of an opportunity awaiting that needs to be acted on, that needs to be seized on. God has opened the door to Paul to remain in Ephesus. He wants to go on to Corinth. He wants to do other things, but at the moment, a great door has opened up for him, an effective door. So he knows God has opened this door. He would be faithless, disobedient, if he ignored this open door. God knows how to open doors. God knows how to open doors. I'm just going to quote one or two references to the doors that we find in the scriptures. Don't need to look them up. There's one in the Old Testament, in one of the, what we call the minor prophets, Hosea. Hosea chapter 2 and verse 15. There, he opened a door of hope. I will tell you that the Lord in his mercy has opened to us as a fellowship a door of hope. He's given us a door of expectancy. I want to embrace this. I really do. And I just sense that there's an eagerness among us to embrace this door of hope. Because in Hosea chapter 2 and verse 15, it talks about the valley of Achor, the valley of trouble. It talks about the valley of trouble. But he's saying that valley of trouble will become a valley of hope. And I am quickened in my spirit that I believe the Lord is giving that to us. He is going to transform Achor into a valley of expectancy. Hope instead of trouble. It is no secret that as a church, as a fellowship, we experienced trouble last year. We went through a very anxious time. Personally, I was persecuted. But the Lord upheld us. The Lord was faithful. At times, I was faithless, and I guess you would say, I'm sorry, Jim, so was I. But he's faithful. He's merciful. And I believe that the Lord, and I know some of you have confirmed this, I believe that the Lord in his sovereignty, in his mercy, and in his grace, allowed, permitted us to have to move from this building for a time to establish truly what church and fellowship is, and to actually close the door on the past and open a new door of hope. In the spirit, I've sensed that. This is his mercy. And although it's been a time of trial, God has been faithful. And I am excited by what God is going to do. The valley of trouble is becoming a valley of hope, a valley of expectancy. Is his door. Hallelujah. There's another place where it talks about an open door is found in the New Testament. Actually, it's in Acts chapter 14 and verse 27. There, he opens a door of faith. A door of faith. We've got a door of hope, a door of faith, which he wants you and me to embrace. A door of hope and a door of faith. If the church was gathered together, you read that on the screen, the church was gathered together, and they reported all that God had done for them. He opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. This is the door the Lord's opened. Again, the Apostle Paul says in the letter to Colossians, Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, he said that God has opened a door of utterance, a message. He's opened a door. And some of us have been reticent. We've not been full of the Holy Spirit as we should. We depended on our own strength, our own efforts. Perhaps the pressures of life, the pressures of ministry, the pressures of work, family, whatever. We've leaked. We've not been on fire. And our mouth has been shut when we knew we should speak. We should give a message. We should say a word. We should lay hands. We were reticent because somehow we felt condemnation. We weren't where we should be. The Lord gave to the Apostle Paul a door of utterance. He is giving to you, he is giving to this fellowship, a door of hope, a door of faith, a door of utterance, a door of message. We need to be full of the Holy Spirit. We need to be waiting for him. But we need to be bold, we need to be courageous. The time is short. The time is short. I believe, friends, that God has been merciful to us. He's calling us to redeem the time. Make the most of opportunities. We were learning about that on Thursday at the Bible study, weren't we, Colin? These opportunities. Hallelujah. How good God is. There's another door which I know you'll all be familiar with. It's the door which was spoken to the church of Philadelphia in Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. He says, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm also grateful that Jesus himself likened himself to a door, didn't he, in John's Gospel, chapter 10. I am the door. I am the door. Now, to me, you know, when he actually shuts the door, once I've gone through that door, and he sort of shuts it behind me, that's a place of safety. That's a place of security, isn't it? Hallelujah. Glory be to his name. The Lord knows how to open the door. You may think that the world is closing in on you. There seems no way. The word of God for you this morning is he is making a way where there is no way. He closed the door when the floods came, when it rained and rained and rained. He closed the door to the ark. But when the waters had gone down, when the waters had been assuaged, he opened the door again. Freedom. And here he has given Paul in our chapter an open door, an opportunity in the ministry, a place to serve God, with the liberty, the freedom of the Holy Spirit. And it was up to Paul to use that door. God creates the door. He opens the door. It is up to us to use that door. I'm conscious this morning that there will be some here where a door has closed. Perhaps that was painful and is being painful to you, but the Lord is saying, that season is finished. Fruit will be to the glory of Jesus, which you may never know of. That door I've allowed to shut, but I'm opening a new door for you. It's a new door which you weren't looking for. I've opened it. It's a door of hope. It's a door of faith. It's a door of utterance. It's a new door. And it is up to us to now go through it. The work of God is not a work without purpose. Friends, it is a great work. It's a great work. It's a high calling. You know what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4? He's talking about the gifting to the church of prophets, apostles, pastors, evangelists, teachers. He says, look, these have been given by me. They're a gift to Christ, to the church, so that all of us can be built up in the faith, so all of us can do the work of ministry. If you're a believer, whether you are a new babe and still on the milk, or whether you are more mature and have now progressed to the meats, all of us are ministers of Jesus Christ, servants to serve him. Hallelujah. What a calling. The greatest calling. And it's also a sizable responsibility. It's significant work. Friends, what goes on and what's going to go on in this building, what's going to go on in your spirit-filled hearts and lives, what's going to go on in your spiritual homes will be of far greater significance as far as eternity is concerned, which works out in presence, in earth, in the present, is far greater, far more significant, listen, than what is going on in the corridors of number 10 Downing Street. If we're doing the Lord's work, and I believe there is a desire now to truly move with the Holy Spirit, obedient to the Lord, faithful to God, he's providing us an open door. We deal with the prospect of eternity. It's a great door. It's a great door. And the Apostle Paul was saying there was work to do. And God was giving the power to finish it. Hallelujah. God will give the power to finish it. What is the position of the door? It's open. It's open. The position matters. Because a closed door is more like a barrier, isn't it? There's no way through. It's a barrier. It's a barrier to what's the other side. It's a barrier to what's the other side. Yes, friends, God may sometimes put barriers in the way or allow barriers to be there. The Apostle Paul was saying, this is a great door. This is a wonderful opportunity. But there's a load of adversaries. He may be thinking of Acts chapter 19 or Acts chapter 20 when he talks about the opposition. He talks about a riot in chapter 20. Because if you're if we're involved in the ministry of the Lord, the enemy won't like it. We'll have adversaries. We will have attacks. But hey, we've learnt a lot. Surely we're no longer babes in this. Surely we are maturing. Surely we acknowledge the goodness of the Lord, the greatness of God, his provision. Surely we are not unaware of the devil's schemes. Friends, this passage also talks in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 about love. About love. He says, he just talks. About watching, standing fast in the faith, be brave and strong. Verse 14, let all that you do be done with love. One of the doors is opened. Friends, even now is that door of utterance, that door of message. I said last week, you can use your tongue, you can use your words to speak curse or blessing. Speak well of your brothers and sisters. Speak well. Don't gossip. Don't gossip. Speak well. If there needs to be a word of rebuke, a word of exhortation, make sure it's done in love. Hallelujah. All things be done. I'm jealous for the unity of this place. And that's what God is going to give to us. Hallelujah. Praise be to his name. So friends, there will be barriers. But Paul said that God had presented to him an open door. It was not a barrier. It was a passageway to sharing the gospel. It was a passage to sharing our faith. It was a passage to see God's kingdom come and the enemy. Friends, he's planting everywhere a counterfeit gospel. That's his job. He's a counterfeiter. He wants you and me to have that door, that utterance that speaks the pure word of God. who's unashamed of the gospel, who knows it's powerful, it's mighty to save, who will not compromise, will not water it down, will not weaken it, but be full of truth, full of the Holy Spirit. When you see others apostatizing or departing from the faith, churches who are abandoning the word of God and replacing it with man's teaching, you say, Lord, keep that door shut for here. Keep an open door to your precious word, because that's what he will bless. So, yes, he does speak about disturbances at the door. We all face them. But the Apostle Paul knew that this was an effectual door, and he won't shut it until he wants to. I'm going through it. Will you join me in going through this door? This door of hope, this door of faith, this door is an expectant door. Christ is there waiting. Hallelujah. Christ is there waiting. Can you just put on the screen? We're going to close with something from 1 Thessalonians, if we can read it together. 2 Thessalonians. Thank you, Alan. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verses 1 to 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Shall we stand as we conclude and read this scripture? Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. God is in it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Friends, work while the door is open until God closes it.